You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Now, we've been talking about our spiritual life, or the rituals inside of our spiritual life. How many of you were able to practice silence this week and just sit and listen? Anyone? It's okay, I'm calling you out. There you go, thank you. Okay, so sometimes we have the opportunity to just put ourselves in those situations, and that's the practice. Sometimes our situation is such that there are things that happen that force us into silence. It could be difficulty, it could be moments where you're desperate. So what I want to encourage you as you continue to practice listening in silence is, don't look at those opportunities whenever you are forced into silence as punishment from God. Instead, look at those as opportunities to listen and to hear what God is saying to you. Because it's difficult to put ourselves in different situations, especially if those situations are uncomfortable. Am I right? You know, there are some moments whenever you have to pay attention. You can't just blindly drive to work like we do every morning. You know, you can't just be hypnotized. Sometimes you have to sit and pay attention. We can't fall back into our usual space, our safe space, our routine. And so what I'm going to encourage you as we kind of leave last week and enter into this week is to practice moments where you're getting into those uncomfortable areas where you have to pay attention. Remember, this year's theme, we don't really advertise it, but it's underlying everything I talk about, is what does it mean to be fully present? So fully present in our practices to help our spiritual life. Put yourself in those situations, you know, even if they're uncomfortable, because we're going to have to pay attention in those moments. So I'm going to have Justin come up. Now, Justin and his teens, they do something every year where they put themselves into uncomfortable situations. And so you just did that this past week, not this week, but last week. With how many teens did you have going with you?
That's been 2 weeks ago. There you go.
There you go.
You can count. Yeah, so this group right here, we took a trip down to Shreveport, Louisiana, about 3 hours away. But we were in uncomfortable circumstances.
Now today we're talking about the practice of meditation. And so typically if you were to, let's just define it at the very beginning, it's just the intentional focusing on something for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what your group did. So if you could just tell us, what are some of the things you had to focus on while you were there?
So when we were in Shreveport, we were working with an organization called The Hub. And basically, they reach out to homeless people. They have a facility there, and all throughout the week, they're serving meals. They have a clothing store. They have a food pantry. And really, it's a place where they can come, and they can get out of the heat. And in the winter, of course, out of the cold. And so throughout the week, we were serving meals. You know, we were working the clothing room, we were working the pantry. But really where it probably gets uncomfortable, you're talking about uncomfortable, is when we have to actually interact with these people. Because, you know, they're not like us, they're different from us. And the one thing that sticks out to me, what I kept hearing our teens learn was, you know, they really don't know any different because this is how they grew up. A lot of their stories that they shared, it's just what they were taught. That's the way of life to them. They weren't. No one came alongside of them and said, hey, here's another way. Hmm. It's just how they grew up and what they know. And so we're in really uncomfortable situations, but I know today you're talking about meditation. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we're in this state of meditation, we've got to completely be focused. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many times during this week was it hard to meditate on what we were doing because we're out of our comfort zone. You know, there's this thought in our mind where we could be home and be doing something completely different and we'd be more comfortable with it. We don't have this uncomfortable interactions that we have going on. Mm-hmm. You know, what was probably even more challenging, I think, and eye-opening for our teens was the first day they threw us in a poverty experience where the whole day we were as if we were poverty. They took all of our stuff that we had. We basically got robbed. We had to wear a t-shirt that wasn't even ours. Mm-hmm. Some of us in this room got to eat pizza, and some of us got to eat a can of corn. I'm not going to mention who that was. Wow. But, you know, that happened. And even this mindset of we had to, throughout that day, we had to set a budget as if we were a single parent of two kids and live on $870 a month, wow, which is very eye-opening. It's very hard. So constantly trying to meditate throughout the week was a little difficult because you're uncomfortable. You're not in your norm.
Yeah. So whenever it came to scripture, and I know whenever you're in the middle of this type of a situation, was there any type of scripture that kind of kept coming to your mind as you kind of worked with these people and really as you saw these kids immerse themselves into this environment?
You know, I don't, for me, I was just constantly, there wasn't a key scripture, I would say, but for me, I was just constantly having to tell myself, God, I know you're in control.
Yeah.
You know, I remember on Thursday, I was telling Scott this, on Thursday, it was probably the hottest day that it was out of the whole week in Shreveport. And you don't really understand this until you're around these people, but you can probably think of it this way. When you've been outside in the heat for a really, really long time, you get tired, right? Your emotions get really short, and that leads to things. And so there were several times on Thursday where just one person would stand up and start yelling at the other person, and the staff of Hub would have to calm them down. And what I realized in that moment was, through all things, God's going to strengthen us, you know, and through all things, he has a plan, and he's going to use us. And so I think there was a lot of scriptures going through my head, yeah, and just in that sense. But more importantly, I think it's just constantly praying to God that he's in control of this, and I have to believe in that.
I think what's interesting is that when you put yourself into those particular situations where you're uncomfortable, you kind of fall back on the things that you really believe in. And yeah, I think if there's scripture in your head, if there's this life of following and seeking after God, then in those uncomfortable moments, that's your safety net, mm-hmm, is the things you've been, you know, learning and the faith that you have. So I appreciate you putting these kids in this uncomfortable situation. It's not normal, is it?
No. No, it's not. You know, and I think for me, there was one scripture that was kind of my driving force, I think, when I talk to these people and I experience them. And it's pretty uncommon. People don't talk about it a lot, but it's Jude 1:23. Where it says, snatch others from the fire, to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even their clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Yeah. And what I see from that is a lot of those people I was coming in contact, they don't necessarily have a relationship with God. You know, they have all these stains on them and what they've learned, and they're just looking for that glimmer of hope. The thing about them is, as much as that's uncomfortable for them, really what I've learned the last 2 years that I've gone is they just want someone to pay attention to, yeah, them and talk to them.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for doing what you do with our kids. I tell you, it's good stuff. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and start off with some prayer today. We are going to be talking for the next 10, 12 minutes about meditation and kind of keep that in mind, some of the things that he's talking about, because I'm going to be hopefully addressing some of those things. So let's start off with some prayer. Please pray for me as we begin today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all together. Lord, you are good. You are a God of grace and mercy and patience. Lord, you are a God who wants to be known. Lord, you are a God who has given us a word, not just to live by, not just a book of information, Lord, but something that is still speaking to us. And we pray that you would help us to take it seriously. Lord, help us today, this morning, to put other things out of our mind so that we can have a singular focus on the word that you have for us, Lord. Please speak through me, a broken, Lord, flawed instrument, Lord, and I pray that you would open the ears of our people. Lord, all of us are imperfect, but we are made holy through the blood of Jesus, and oh, we're so thankful for that. So speak this morning and help us to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we're talking about meditation. But before we go really far into it, I wanted to talk a little bit about the meditation that I'm going to be talking about throughout the rest of the morning. We want to begin on the same page. So meditation is usually associated with passive thinking. You know, it's something that you just kind of, you know, sit and do, right? sometimes people consider it purely a mental exercise. Granted, there's a lot of thinking involved, but as we see through our conversation today, there's a lot more to meditation than passivity. So sometimes mental engagement is quite difficult. Why is it difficult to just sit and, let's say, if it's a thinking exercise, why is that difficult? Because there's so many things competing for our attention, aren't there? A lot of times when you sit and you're still, finally, all these things come to your head. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Dallas Willard is a late theologian, and he does a lot on spiritual practices. He says this, 9/10 of meditation is ignoring things, letting stuff go. It's the art of purposefully allowing stuff to drop off. That's kind of hard to do, especially whenever you have a long list after your first day of just stopping for 5 minutes and trying to think of something. You think of all the to-do lists for the day. So I would suggest if you're doing that, have a notepad and write it down. And just let it go. Let God deal with that. But what I'm finding is that meditation really isn't passive. It requires that we are fully present, because if we have so many things competing for our attention, we got to do some work there to weed through all of the extra junk. Now, presence in meditation requires engagement, full engagement. And I think when you engage, there is transformation. So look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1, it says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." I love that. There is this idea that meditation leads to righteousness. But it's not really a practice a lot of us are familiar with. You know, it could be described as focusing on one particular idea, thought, scripture, for an extended period of time. But it is intentional, and it takes a lot of effort. But still, meditation is very difficult. And a lot of people, we just don't do it. You know, sometimes we think that the scripture we speak and hear on a Sunday morning is enough. You know, honestly, think about it. Is this the only time you actively engage with scripture? Is Sunday morning during the class and the worship hour? If that's you, I want today, I want to encourage you specifically to start brand new. And don't wait until the Sunday morning to engage with Scripture. And I know meditation's a foreign word, and a lot of times it's odd. There's a lot of reasons why we choose not to practice it. And I'm going to give you three reasons in specific. These are things that I think a few reasons why we don't practice meditation. Number one, we associate it with Eastern religion. You hear the word meditation and you think, oh, yoga, or Buddhists, or New Age religions. But I'm going to encourage you today, don't dismiss it too quickly because of the stereotypes we place on this. Of course, the ritual today I'm talking about doesn't really have to be practiced like this on the side of a road on a guardrail, like apparently he's doing. I guess if you do that, you can balance most anywhere. But this is not what I'm talking about. You know, some Eastern religions practice a meditation that is primarily about emptying themselves. You know, nirvana is whenever you completely let go of everything you are and you become one with the universe, which is nothing. That's part of it, because Dallas Willard does say 9/10 is letting things go. But I'm going to tell you that there's a whole other part of it that is key, and that is filling yourself up with Scripture, with the Word of God. That's what this process needs to be following with, is filling yourself up. So don't associate necessarily with Eastern religion. Second thing is we already know what it says. A lot of times we don't really meditate on something because we've read it before. Maybe we've read it 10, 20, 30, 100 times. I already know what that says. I used to do this. I looked at the Bible as a bunch of information, and it's a proof text, and it helped me defend what it is I believed. But if we treat the Bible as a book of information, then we begin to treat it in the same way we treat all information. We categorize it, we file it, we label it, we move it to the different areas of interest in our minds. And sometimes we only bring it back when it suits us, whenever we can use it to our benefit. So a man named A.W. Tozer, he's a theologian, prolific theologian in the early 20th century. He had this to say about our approach to Scripture. He said this: the Bible is not a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking. If you would follow, do not come with the notion that it is a thing which you can push around at your own convenience. So think about it. Scripture is still speaking. It's not simply information. Could we approach it with the attitude that Mary had in Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to her? She said specifically in Luke 1, "Let it be with me according to your word." Could we come to Scripture with that in mind? Not with, "I know what that says. This is about this, this, this." Let it be to me according to your word. And I think if we were to approach it to where almost we let Scripture read us, then we might be surprised at how it begins to shape us. Another possible reason is we don't really know where to start. Have you ever done the, okay, what do I need to read? And you pull your Bible open and you do the finger in the Bible test, right? What is God trying to tell me? It's like the Bible's a magic eight ball. And you go, ah, there we go. And Leviticus, great. A lot of times we don't really know where to start. There's so many different areas to begin with. I mean, do we start in the genealogies? How can you meditate on genealogies? It gets a little boring. And, you know, do we go with Jude, like Justin said? It's so short, but there's still a lot. Do we do Revelation? No, I don't want to scare myself. You know, where do we start? I'm going to encourage you, start somewhere. If it's genealogy, start there. The truth is, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, all of it, Old Testament and New Testament. So I'll give you a tip. If you aren't really sure where to start, start anywhere, anywhere. Take a short section. Start in the Psalms 1. Start there. Read it once, and then read it again, and then read it again. But don't just read it. Let it sit in your mind. Let it kind of rest in your heart. Let it sit in your mouth. Just say the words. Let the words form. Feel how they feel in your mouth. Let it go down your throat into your belly. Put a post-it note on your computer. Put a note on your mirror. Put a note on your, like I do whenever I need gas. I always put a note. It says gas right there. Put a note on your car. Maybe have a reminder on your phone. It pops up at 3:30 and it's the Scripture. Put it in front of you. But remember, it's not simply a mental exercise. It's not about ingesting information. So this is something that was brand new to me this week. Apparently a lot of people already knew this. You might. I've been doing this for a long time, and this is new. It's exciting, actually. The Hebrew word for meditation is a word called haga. 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 I don't know how to say it. I'm doing my best here. Meditation, dwelling, or repeating. It's found 24 times in the Old Testament. It's the same word for meditate as you see in Psalm 1 that we just read. Now, when we see Joshua taking over for Moses in Joshua 1, turn your Bibles to Joshua 1. It's just a couple of verses, 7 through 8. When we see this, we hear this same word used, haga. All right? So God gave some very clear instructions. Let's go ahead and read this really quickly. It says this: only be strong and very courageous. Verse 7. Be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Here you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate, haga, on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Meditate on the law day and night. Again, not passive. It takes discipline to keep the word of God on your mind, in your presence, day and night. And I think when we're fully present and open to Scripture, maybe may it be to me as the Word has said, how is that going to shape our thoughts for the day, our actions, our decisions? But I discovered something more about the word Haggah. I hope it helps us go one step deeper into this idea. The word Haggah is a Hebrew automatopoeia. It's automatopoetic. Does anyone know what that is? Okay. There you go. Here's some. There are words that sound like they're derived from how they sound. Warble. Just say that. Warble. That's fun, isn't it? Moan. We have automatopoeias all the time. Pow. Bang. Now, this is a Hebrew automatopoeia. Haggah. Now, what does it sound like? I had to do some research. It's very interesting. Haggah is a word that's also, in addition to being translated as meditation, dwelling, or repeating, it's also translated as growl. Growl. How could this? So we see it in Isaiah. Same word. Here we go. That's what it says. It says, "For thus the Lord said to me, as a lion or a young lion growls, Haggah, over its prey. And when a band of shepherds is called out against it, it is not terrified by their shouting or daunted at their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight upon Mount Zion and upon its hill." Now, what does this have to do with meditate? Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a lion eat. Maybe for some of you, it could be your husband, right? Whenever it's there and whenever they're eating, that is all they're thinking about. There's a lot of laughter. Did I hit a note close to home? It is right there. It's that moment whenever you have nothing else to think about. All you're doing is eating. It's a guttural sound specifically that a lion makes whenever it's actively engaged in eating. It's just a guttural sound. Maybe some cats make it too. I don't know. They're felines, right? But it is a sound of complete and total attention, full presence in what that lion is doing at that moment. It's so engaged, it doesn't even respond whenever shepherds are called out to scare it. Doesn't even notice the shepherds are there. So here's a visual that's going to give you a better idea. You ready? I'm just going to let it play and just listen. Make sure the sound is up, please, on the video. Hear that? It's a guttural sound. To me. And so if you think about this, it's an onomatopoeia. Haggah, it's guttural. Sound of actively engaging in something. I could really watch this all day. I have a whole queue of crazy animal videos at home. Okay, you can stop that. That's great. You see it, you hear it. Okay, so if you think about this word Haggah, are these passive? Is this a passive activity? No, they are as active and, in a way, as satisfied as you can be. So Eugene Peterson, he is the one who authors the translation of the Message. He says this. He says, reading is an immense gift, but only if the words are assimilated, taken into the soul, eaten, chewed, gnawed, received in unhurried delight. Whenever a lion's on its prey, there's not really a lot of hurrying involved. He's taking his time. The image is a little odd, but he's enjoying it. It's like I was in my, ribeye that I had in Breckenridge that cost way more than I wanted to spend. I was fully singularly focused. So much so that at the very end I got the bone and I was gnawing on it. I'm sorry, I was at a nice restaurant. I'm not showing that picture. What if we decided to make this a practice? Haggah. To actively engage in this ritual of meditation. Haggah. But not just meditating, but meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. The truth is, we all meditate on something. We are all meditating on something throughout the week. This is true. Some of us gnaw and chew and dwell on problems that are beyond our control. Whether worldly, nationally, locally. Sometimes we dwell, gnaw, and chew on what others are doing wrong. Sometimes we gnaw, dwell, we chew on our careers, on media, entertainment. We chew, we gnaw on it, on what others think about us, on what others should be doing for us. We gnaw and chew and dwell on our financial statements, on our comfort, on our temporary satisfaction. And whether we realize it or not, meditation's already a practice for us. We just may not realize how much time we're actually devoting to things that don't really matter. At the end of all things, are you going to be thinking, I should have spent more time on how I thought other people should treat me? I really should have spent more time on my career. I really should have spent more time on you fill in the blank. Let's change that today. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to change. Just one step at a time. That's why it's called a ritual, a practice. It's not a ritual unless you start to do it over and over. What if we decided to start this week with Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but in whose delight is the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by what? You can answer. Streams of water whose leaf yields fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. This is righteousness. This is transformation. This is strength, stability, and safety. What if we gnawed on those words this week? What if we dwelled in Psalm 1? Just the first three verses. Just start there. Gnaw, chew, take them in, let them rest in your mouth, in your heart. And as I said before, let them go down to your belly. Let them sit there and see what the Word of God does to you, through you, with you. And do it not quickly. As Eugene Peterson says, do it with unhurried delight. I tell you, we waste a lot of time, but when you rest and meditate and gnaw and chew on Scripture, it is not time wasted. It is transformation.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.